Isaiah chapter 40. I did bring a case of Bibles. There's 32 Bibles there that I brought for the church. They're a little special. They're a Latino Bible, full Bible. And in our ministry, we try to challenge churches to reach Latino-speaking people in your area. We have a connection. My two daughters are missionaries in Mexico with their husbands and families. And they have works there. And we go to Mexico, and I do just what I'm doing here. I draw pictures. Amen. Now, you think they don't remember? They remember. I'm telling you. They say music is a universal language. I'm telling you. Art is a universal language. They get the message. I'm telling you. It's good. So we go wherever we can. We hear that maybe we'll get a chance to go to New Guinea, if the Lord willing. Maybe to the Philippines. It's all this maybe stuff. But anyway, we try to stay busy. Our ministry is Contending for the Faith Ministries out of Branch Hill Baptist Church. Pastor Joe Greer is my pastor. And we believe in accountability and trying to be in order with the church and do what God calls. So you pray for us. There's a few prayer cards back there, and we appreciate that. So I've been doing this now. My wife reminded me, 32 years. I said, man, but you know what? It's nothing like serving God. Amen. Nothing like serving God. And been saved longer than that. Amen. Got saved when I was 12. So I've been in church all my life. Raised all my children in church. And I think that's just how it ought to work. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Now there'll be a picture in a few moments. And I'll try to bring the message. Preach a little bit. And then you were here. Some of you were here before. The kids already know the drill. And I'll just go ahead and draw. And it'll be an illustration of what I'm trying to say tonight. And trust that God will get in that. And it'll be a blessing. And someone said one picture's worth 1,000 words. So maybe if I can't get it said just the way maybe it should be, maybe there'll be something done tonight that will fix it in your mind and have an eternal effect on you for the glory of God. So here tonight, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. We understand that the prophet here is writing about the nation of Israel, and we started in chapter 40, and that's the break in the book of Isaiah. Most of us understand that. The theologians argue about it and try to figure out, did he write it all or didn't he write it all? I believe that he did, because the Lord quotes him over there in the New Testament, and he's quoting Isaiah 53, and he said, Isaiah, so I just assumed that, yes, he wrote it, no problems, and I believe it, but it breaks. The first 39 chapters in the book of Isaiah represent the Old Testament, the next 27, the New Testament, so there's some things going on there, although it's to the nation of Israel, it also speaks to us tonight as children of God. So we want to learn something this evening. Verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. We understand he's looking to the future. He's looking at the millennium coming up for the Jew, and the Jew finally will inherit the earth, and God will straighten things out when he comes back. So we understand what he's talking about, but I want to come on over, and I'm actually going to preach out of the last verse in the chapter. But I want to lay a little groundwork so we understand what we're trying to say. Try to speak to the church a little bit. Try to give you something from the Word of God that can help you in your ministry here this year and maybe the following year and the years to come. And God is gracious enough here to record these things. And we know, and we already said, that from chapter 40 on kind of represents the New Testament. And when he gets down there in verse 3, I didn't read it, but I wanted to read it. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And that's just like Matthew talking about John the Baptist, crying out for the Lord is coming, so on and so forth. And he tells us and reminds us over there about the greatness of God and man's weakness. And that's one of the problems that we have living here on this earth. We're weak, but God is strong. And there's something that's going to come out here, and this is just a simple message on God's grace, but I want to unfold it through the scriptures and apply it to your heart, that the Holy Ghost might teach you something and guide you and give you something tonight. If you're lost, get saved. If you're discouraged, get encouraged. If you don't know how you're going to get it done, get some grace. Have a little faith, and God will give you the grace if you'll just trust him, and he'll show you. So a simple message tonight on God's grace and an illustration. He simply says, the grass, verse 7, withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. We're weak. I mean, if it wasn't for God, we couldn't get anything done or accomplished. Verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Thank God for his word tonight. Amen. So I'm going to draw from the sustenance of the word of God. We're going to eat at the master's table tonight. Amen. And we're going to learn what he has to say from his word. If we didn't have this word, we'd be in trouble tonight. Amen. Because it's from his word that we get all the shots in the arm that we need, that we get the grace of God that we need, that we learn of the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So thank God for his word tonight. And he goes on, and I'm skipping a little, but just setting a little foundation. Come on over to verse 10, 11, and 12. And God's talking about his greatness, talking about man's weakness. And he uses some illustrations, some subject matter to illustrate what he's trying to say, as he always does. And I always marvel as an artist what God chooses to illustrate his greatness and what he's trying to teach us. It's a real subject lesson. And he says here, who hath measured the water in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and shewed unto him the way of understanding? Well, listen, God didn't need anybody to show him anything. He's God, the Creator God. In the beginning, God. Just stop there. And God, the letter G, you know, every word has a definition. Every letter has a definition. G is a big letter. It's open. It's God. So God's grace, two G's. Gabbard. I don't think that'd fit. All right. Just seeing if you're awake. Amen. But God is good. Won't take the time to define the letters of the alphabet today, but they all have definitions, and God is good. He's great. And we see here he's talking about his handiwork. He's talking about his creation. He's talking about his power. And he goes on through this. Come on down to verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Amen. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, and I like that, amen, when we're falling apart, when we're too weak to stand, when we're fainting on every side, the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And that, my friend, is the text tonight, that one verse, little foundation verses there, but that verse. And I want to preach on the magnificent grace of God, or God's grace this evening. And I know this, as you minister here, these past years and these past months, and as you look to the future and try to minister and try to grow, listen, you'll need the grace of God. You'll need the grace of God. You'll need it to grow by. You'll need to see people get saved by. You'll need it to keep on going for God. You'll need it to keep from fainting. And he uses great creative powers in the heavens and the earth and the mountains and the valleys and the water and the trees and all the things that he said, the grass. And then he chooses one animal out of the animal kingdom to talk about, and it's the eagle. Now, let's look around. You don't have it here. A lot of the American flags have an eagle on the top of it. And the Christian flag might have a cross on the top of it. But the eagle is a very important bird. And he uses it him. That's why he says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I believe the eagle, just like creation, is a picture of the grace of God. And we'll try to elaborate. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your people. Thank you for a wonderful service thus far. For the special singing. For the choir, the congregation. Singing, the special music. Thank you, Lord, tonight for an opportunity to preach. God, help me to be a blessing to these fine folks, an encouragement to the pastor and these men and these people and these ladies that are here. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's lost, may they be saved. Father, someone here tonight that needs your grace, God, extend it tonight. Let them step by faith, longing for the grace just to accomplish those things that even pastor said to be doing, getting ready for these big days. Lord, bless this church. Continue to bless this church. Help it to go for you, for your glory and your honor. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. There are three little things going on there. Three little things. Actually, there's four, but I want to use the three. And anytime that God wants to get your attention in the Word of God, He's going to use a rhyme. He's going to use a rhythm. And God, He wrote the thing, He put it down, and He says there, the first one that I see in verse 31 is, "But they that wait upon the Lord." And if you look at that, they wait. There's the wings of the eagle, there's the weary, and there's the walk. I want to deal with waiting, weary, and walk, just to get it going. But here He says, waiting upon the Lord. Now He put it down like that so we might see it and we might get it. And the Bible says this in Psalms 27 and verse 14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Hardest thing you ever did was wait on God. And you know what? It takes a lot of patience to wait on God. Guess what? Tribulation worketh patience. We don't like that part of it. We want to get her done. We're used to that microwave age. Put it in, bip, 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 we got it. I made coffee this morning or this afternoon like that. I saved me a little coffee. It was cold, about a half a cup. Throw her in the microwave, hit a couple buttons, instant hot coffee. But you know what? Christian life isn't like that. He said you're going to have some patience, some persistence. You've got to be patient, wait on God. God's timing is impeccable. It's something that you need to learn and understand, and wait on God. Young folks, wait on God. Don't run out in front of God. Your pastor tells you that. Your teachers tell you that. Your deacon, the good folks of this church probably tell you that. Hardest thing a young person ever did was wait on God. They get a little age on them, 15, 16, 17, 18. Yeah, now they know more than mom and dad. Come on. Mom and dad might know a little more. Wait on God. Well, I want to get married. You better wait on God. Amen? The last thing you need is a relationship that'll mess you up. So you need to wait on God. People say, "Well, I just can't wait." And you've got all the rest of your life unless the Lord comes back, and that'll take care of all the problems anyway. Amen? I mean, don't get in no hurry. We raised seven children. I mean, at the age of 18, my daughters thought they were old maids. Come on. You're not an old maid. Amen? I mean, you shouldn't be getting married. You're about 35 or 40 anyway. You say, "Well, you got married when you was 18. I know, things change. Amen. You need to wait on God. Psalms chapter 37, verse 34, David says this: "Wait on the Lord and keep His ways, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." He's telling them to wait. Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 22. "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee." Listen, if you'll learn how to wait on God, God will take care of you. Say, "How am I going to do this?" You don't know how you're going to do it. I'm going to tell you how you're going to do it. You're going to do it with the grace of God. You say, "What's that?" Well, listen, you can't see it. You can't touch it. And it seems so far away. It's kind of like the eagle flying in the sky. But let me tell you this. It's there. And you've got to trust God by faith, because that book says it's there. And if that book says it's there, you better figure out how to get a hold of it, because it's going to take the grace of God if you're going to wait on God. Now, let me say this. Takes patience, persistence, and there's a purpose in it. You may not understand the purpose of God, but it's there. I mean, you may go to a counselor, you may go to a pastor, you may go to a teacher and say, "I just don't see the purpose in this thing." And believe me, they'll be able to see it before you will. God has a purpose for every Christian's life, every young person's life. And if you don't know what His purpose is, find out what the purpose is. Wait on God. Patiently wait. Be persistent in it. And you'll know the purpose of God. I know what I'm doing the rest of my life. No doubt about it. Say, "I found the purpose of God." 32 years been preaching. Going to keep on preaching till the Lord comes. Amen. So it takes purpose. Let me say this by way of introduction. Wearying in the work. We talked about it a little bit this morning. You say, "Why do you keep talking about that?" Because it's ever present in our churches. People falling out. People going by the wayside. Pastors calling, say, "Brother Phil, I want to have you in, but we'll have 100 folks Sunday morning and 20 people Sunday night. What's wrong?" "Well, I don't know. What's on TV?" You wonder where they're at. We looked around, my wife said, "Man, they got a good crowd for Sunday night." We've been in a few churches where nobody shows back up. And I'm preaching. Imagine that. I don't know what the problem is. But you know what? People wear out. And they shouldn't wear out. It sometimes gets a little discouraging to see fine folks, and the next year I get back, they're not there. Brother so-and-so's not there. Sister so-and-so's not there. And they're not out serving God. They're just out. You say, what happened? They got weary. And he said here, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Listen, that tells me something. They don't have the grace of God to keep on going for the glory of God. Something's wrong. They're either not in their Bible or not on their face before the Lord in prayer, and they're not faithful to God, because you can't access grace without faith. Paul taught us that in the book of Romans. It may take a little faith. Get up and go, and then you'll get the grace to keep on going for the glory of God, or you're gonna wear out. You're going to get weary if you keep operating in the energy of the flesh. Now, to get weary in the work that God has called you to is not unusual, but it is injurious. It will cause you damage, spiritual damage, wearing out in the work, and we need to warn. We are warned here in the scriptures not to weary. Galatians, Paul said it. I use it this morning. I use it a lot. Galatians 6:9. He says, and let us not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Why do you think he said that? Because people are getting out all over the place. We're not about people getting out. We're about people getting in. Why do you think Pastor got up here and took a few minutes this evening to tell you to get a hot list going? Amen. That's good. Work on that thing. Get that thing. Your business is to get people in under the sound of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, to get them around the fellowship of God's people. See them get saved. See them get grounded. See them get discipled. And then go on out and tell somebody else about Christ. We get weary. Paul said this in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't wear out on God. I said it this morning. I'm saying it again. See, why are you so repetitious? I'm telling you why. People are quitting all around us. That's why. And I don't want to see you quit. I don't want to see you wear out before your time. Amen? You just keep on going. Say, well, I can't get done what I used to do. I'm getting old. That's okay. Keep on going. Amen? Keep on going. You never get too old to serve God. You may not be able to make visitation all of them. My wife and I, we go on visitation. You know how we do it? She stays in the car. She folds tracks. She prays. I go to the door, knock on the door. I don't go in by myself, but at least I witness. And we go, and I said, my wife's right there. She's in a wheelchair. She can't get up your steps, so on and so forth. You know what? They feel like dirty, rotten dogs then. I like that, preacher. They ought to feel bad. I said, if I can get out there and she can get out there, you can get out there. Amen? And you say, well, I'm just too old to do it. You're never too old to pray. Amen. I mean, that's the unseen ministry. But we wear out. The saints are wore out, and they don't want to pray. And that's something they could do if they can't make the visit. They can't do the door-to-door. They can't do this. They can't do that. They can surely pray. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, one of my life verses, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Anything that you do for the glory of God, it's not in vain. Whether it's minute or major, it's not in vain for the Lord. Whether it's seen or not seen, maybe that prayer in the closet that nobody sees is the greatest work that you'll ever do. Do not wear out on God. Let me say thirdly, walking in the Lord. Abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking hand in hand. It's easy to walk in the world. People do it all the time, but walk with God. And that's what he says in our verse. He says, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And he's trying to encourage you, and he wants you to keep on walking. So if you're going to run the race, and this, people say, well, if I'm supposed to be walking, what am I doing running? Figure of speech here. If you're going to run the wet race, now listen to me, you're going to have to learn how to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's what he's talking about. Paul told the Corinthian people in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Amen. What's that going to take? Walking with the Lord. That's what it's going to take. Well, I just don't understand it. Listen, you'll have to do it by faith. And not until you do it by faith will you get the grace of God to do it. People say, well, I just don't understand this thing. Listen, it's there. It's available. We need to tap in, get plugged in, and get going for God. Here Paul says in Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Listen, I think there's people watching us. Amen. Yes, I believe heaven sees. If there's rejoicing in the presence of the angel over one sinner that repents, I know they're paying attention to what's going on. Blessed Hope Baptist Church and Branch Hill Baptist Church and Berean Baptist Church and Bible Believers Baptist and all the other churches around the area. Amen. They know what's going on. That's an incentive for me to keep on going. If they kept on going and they kept on going and they kept on going and they tuned into the grace of God just by the faith that God gives from the Word of God, then surely we can do the same thing. Walk right. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Your biggest battle will be the flesh. Yes, oh, it's the devil, preacher. No. No. It's you. Yes, right. Amen. It's me. Right. I get all my trouble from myself. Yeah. And you say, well, it's the husband that I have. No. Oh, it's my wife. No, it's not. Oh, you don't understand. It's my parents. No. It's you. Amen. People say, well, now you're not preaching, you're meddling. Well, hang on, I'll draw a picture in a minute. Amen. After the brother sang so good, I said, I don't need to sing. Huh? Amen. I like the song. My wife and I said, man, we haven't heard that song in forever. And he did a good job. And I said, man, that fits what I'm trying to say tonight. Perfect. Don't sing, Phil. So, Paul said, this I say, then walk in the Spirit. Amen. Say, how do I walk in the Spirit? Learn how. You walk in the Spirit by staying in the Word of God and staying in church and staying faithful, and not only in church, but in the home and in the family and any place you go, wherever you work. I mean, walk in the Spirit. Amen. Let people know that you're a child of God. Let people, just by looking at you, understand that you're not of this world. Let them see a difference in you, how you walk, how you dress, how you talk. Listen, walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, that others might know and see what you're doing. I know I'm preaching now. Amen. But Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, if you say you're saved, you're in the Spirit. Amen. And he says here, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, nothing wrong with that. And that's, you say, well, that's just too black and white. I like it black and white. No gray area. No not understanding that. The Bible's like that. You ever notice? Walk in the Lord. Well, brother, it's hard to walk in the Lord. You just don't understand. Well, all this takes something special from the Lord. And Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. And it is. It is. Isaiah 40:12. God made the mountains. We read it. The valleys. The water. The sky. The rivers. And the eagles that soar on high. I mean, he talks about all of his greatness and his creative powers. And those are, and I wrote this down. I believe that God's creation is not only a picture of his power, but of his grace. A loving, gracious God created this universe. You know, we drove out west a few years ago to Wyoming, looking at the west, knowing, and I know there's some people here praying about going back to the west, maybe Montana someplace. Amen. Hallelujah. They need churches. Amen. I was out there looking around. I know it's a long way off, but I'm telling you, there's a need. There's a need. And we looked at the beautiful mountains, the beautiful scenery and all that kind of stuff. I thought, man, God created this earth under a curse and it's still beautiful. Amen. Amen. It's a picture of his greatness and his grace. I believe that the eagle that he uses in the last verse of scripture is a picture of God's grace. And it is God's grace that we need to carry on. You know that eagle, I want to focus just a moment on that, and I'll draw the picture. Just as an illustration, and I'll go to drawing. And that eagle is a magnificent bird, majestic bird, and as a picture of God's grace, the Bible, take your Bible and look in Job 39. I mean, I have to turn. Job 39, but this is where Job says something about the long-sightedness of the eagle. Now, if the eagle is a picture of grace, you know that grace is long-sighted. And grace comes from the throne of God, from God himself. And in Job chapter 39, in verse about, 27, Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rocks and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eye beholdeth afar off. You see there, he says his eye, the eagle's eye, beholdeth afar off. It means that he can see a long way off. Now, it said a number of other things about the bird, the eagle there, but it said its eye can see afar off. Aren't you glad tonight that grace can see afar off? Aren't you glad tonight that the eye of God's grace can look down here? He sees that person that needs the saving grace to get saved tonight. He sees that person that needs the living grace to live tonight. He sees the person that needs the pastoring grace or the preaching grace or the singing grace or whatever grace we need. It's long-sighted just like the eagle. Well, I like to say it's so long-sighted, it's grace to save any application. Save me. Amen. He said, well, you're just a kid. Hey, I was a hell-bound sinner. I was born under condemnation. I was vile as any vile sinner could be. But he died, and his grace was sufficient to save me. Amen. Save. Everybody needs saving grace. I look there, the Bible, I think about how swift the eagle is, and the Bible says something about that. In Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible says Saul and Jonathan, they were servants of God, and I know there were some problems, things, but let's look at them as God's servants. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. And notice he said they were swifter than eagles. And if the eagle is a picture of grace, and the Bible says that they're swift, aren't you? You know what that means to me? That means that there is grace to serve. I don't mean next year. I don't mean 6 months from now. I mean tonight, instantaneously, it's that swift. That's how swift the grace of God can work. Brother, if in your heart you commit and you step out by faith, you say, I'm going to go serve God. I don't care where it's at. I don't care how long I got to stay. Listen, the grace of God will swoop down like that eagle, and it'll be so swift, and it'll carry you up to places that you've never been before. And brother, we need God's grace to serve our just God. Swift. Well, he also talks about his soaring into the heavens. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They shall fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now I understand there's other teachings in the verse, but notice the eagle has the capability of flying away into the heavens. It's able to soar on high. And in our text, in Isaiah 40 and 31, he says here, but they shall wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And when he says mount up, he means he's soaring into the heavens. Let me tell you something about the grace of God. The grace of God can take you to places. It can strengthen you to the point that you'll do things that you'll never accomplish in the energy of the flesh. You'll soar into places. Listen, and God will have, he had the Apostle Paul preaching to kings. I mean, we heard about Simon and Peter tonight, and then how they did great things. But Peter was just an old rugged fisherman. Man, he went every place. I mean, he had 3,000 people saved in one day just preaching, amen, the resurrected Christ. You say, what was that? It was the grace of God. He was soaring like an eagle. You know, when I get to preach, I'm just a country fella. I grew up on a dairy farm. No cows. You would have never thought it, would you? I know you thought I was a gospel singer or something. No. No, I smelled like an old milk cow. Well, anybody that had never milked cows wouldn't know, but if you've ever been where they milk cows, you smell like cows. Even when you go in and take a bath, you come back out, you smell like cows. My grandparents had a dairy farm. We shipped the Class A bulk milk. We milked 50 head of Holstein. I'm just a country boy. My dad raised Suffolk sheep. He had 40 head of registered Suffolk sheep on his little farm, and I took care of those sheep on our farm and took care of those cows down on Grandpa's farm. I'm just a country boy. I never knew I'd get to come out here and still shepherd sheep. Amen. I didn't know it. And I feel like I'm soaring on high. Man, it wasn't that many years ago. I was sitting on a 10,000 Ford tractor harrowing a field and getting ready to plant. It wasn't that many years ago, and we were baling hay and putting it in the barn and trying to feed the cows. It wasn't that many years ago, and we were chopping silage and blowing it into the silos and throwing it out in the winter. Listen, it just seems like yesterday. What am I doing here in Jasonville, Indiana, preaching at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm soaring high on the wings of an eagle and the grace of God. That's what I'm doing. Now tonight, if you get anything done, you're going to need the grace of God. If you get saved, you need the grace of God. You serve, you need the grace of God. And I know He can save in any application. You can serve in any operation. And He can give you strength in any situation. In it, you say, you don't know my situation. Listen, I serve the God of every situation, and His grace is able. Let me close with this story. The eagle is a symbol of strength and honor. It raises its young, and it makes a high nest in the clefts of the rock. When it builds that nest, it builds the nest with thorns, foreign objects, broken glass, wire, whatever it can find in the bottom of that nest. And then it lines the nest with soft down and soft feathers so that the young eaglets are very comfortable when they're born and they're hatched. And so when the young grow and become too large for the nest, isn't that funny? They never want to leave the nest. Want to stay right here in the church, sucking up the preaching and sucking up the singing. And nobody wants to go out. It's cold out there. I might have to get my own food. Those little eagles, they want to stay in the nest. They never want to leave. The mother eagle begins to remove the down and the feathers and the soft plume that she put in there, causing the nest to be very uncomfortable again, because there's those glass and metal and broken rock chips and things sticking up and some thorns. And you just can't set on that stuff. So when the preacher preaches down your trail once in a while, he might be pulling the feathers out a little bit. I don't know. And they're uncomfortable, and the young reluctantly move out then of the nest to a high perch set right next to the nest on the rocks. For days and nights, and the mother quits feeding them at this time. Doesn't bring them any more food. You know, necessity is the mother of all invention. And an eagle is a predator, and it hunts. And it's able to capture its own food. Well, she's not feeding them anymore, and they're perched there next to the nest, sitting around like, Christians that ought to be doing something, but yet they're not, huh? And so the mother eagle, she'll get over there next to them, and she'll wrap her wing around the bird and snuggle up to them. And they're liking this. About that time, she pushes the young bird off his miserable perch. And that little eagle, and it's full grown, but it doesn't know that those feathers and those wings are for flying. And as it tumbles and falls, and it's fallen. Now, this is the majestic bird that God's talking about here. And I'm just telling you what the life of an eagle's like. And it's fallen. That mother eagle pushes him over the edge, and he's never flown a day in his life. And he's tumbling. He's rolling around. He's just barely missing these sharp rocks. And he's in a tumbling dive for the rocks below. The jagged rocks and cliffs, fearing for his very life, knowing that he will fall to his death any moment. About the time he's getting close, no parachute, the mother eagle dives down off that perch under that young eagle, and on her mighty wings, she swoops that thing up, pulls it into a stall, and swoops up under that little eagle and soars up into the mighty heights with her mighty powerful wings with that little eagle on her back. And she takes it back up to that perch and sets him back up there. And in the and that sounds terrible. She said, what if he misses? Well, eagle soup. No, she isn't going to miss. You see, she's a picture of God's grace. And that little eagle needs to learn how to fly. And brother, let this story, let it say this. You say, well, okay, I'm saved. I'm getting the picture here. And you're trying to push me off into service or ministry or something. I just don't think I can. Let me. You didn't catch that? That eagle can dive faster than the little eagle can fall. When she folds them wings up and sticks that head out and tucks them tail feathers back and those feet back, and she is going at a rate of speed, and she'll catch that falling eagle. You know what that means to me? The grace of God is swifter, stronger, and mightier, and can move faster than you'll ever fall.
Amen.
And brother, when I think about that, man, I want to step out on faith and say, okay, God, here goes. And man, I step off and I'm thinking, okay, where's the grace? And about that time, I'm at Blessed Hope Baptist Church preaching the Word of God. So, say, what is it? God's grace. God's grace. You need the grace of God to do all the things that God wants you to do. And there's a purpose. And I'm going to draw the picture. And brother, if I can get the pulpit moved, we'll get things.